Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Okay, well, we're going to, as I said, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. You can see we've got four stools up here, and our plan is to have a little bit of a panel, and rather than me doing all the talking, we're going to get some other wonderful people to be part of our conversation this morning. And for those of you that maybe are just joining us today, the last few weeks we've been in a series where we've been focusing on our shared values as a church, and the title of our series has been One Heart. And basically what we've been doing is we've been focusing on the different kinds of things in our church that we consider to be important, things that really help to unite us and bind us together. And so it's important that every family understands who they are so that we can kind of join together, be bound together by the things that we share in common. And so we talked about, one of the things we talked about was loving God and loving people. And that's something that is like a no-brainer if you're a Christian. God has called everyone to do that. And so as a church, that's become something that has become a core foundation of who we are. Now, we don't always get it. We don't always, you know, there's room for improvement. Some people say, well, you guys aren't doing a very good job at some of that. Well, the reality is we're all a work in progress, including myself. And so that's why God brings us together as a church so that we can, the Bible says, actually provoke one another to love and good works. And so the things that we need to grow in, the values that we need to improve on, these are things that we can work at together. And we can do it with grace and with joy. We talked about the life application of God's Word as being one of our values. And Pastor Joel shared that a couple of weeks ago, and it was a great message where we believe not only in the Bible, the Word of God, but we also believe strongly that the Bible needs to be applied to our daily lives. How many would say yes to that? We agree with that this morning. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about the proclamation and the demonstration of God's Word, that we have good news to share. We have the best message on earth, and that is that God loves you, and Jesus died on a cross for us, and has made a way that we can have a relationship with God. And with that, we get to proclaim it, share it, tell it, but we also get to demonstrate it in so many different ways. And so before we get into what we're going to talk about today, I want to just mention that next Sunday that we have Faye Schellenberg, who's going to be speaking, and Faye is one of our favorites around here and comes from a wealth of experience. She's going to be talking about missional living and just what that looks like, living in a missional way, starting at home and around the world. And so it's going to have a local but also a international kind of focus, and so she's going to be talking about that. Let me just give you notice that coming up on the 18th of March, God willing, we have with us a guest speaker who's going to be here, Andy Gabrick. And Andy, some of you have heard Andy this fall. Andy is our Next Generations director who for the province of British Columbia. He speaks around Canada often as well. And he's going to be focusing on our value of reaching and releasing and raising up our next generation and how, as a church, we need to really just embrace that and just really champion that. And so he's going to be coming and speaking from his perspective. He's an excellent communicator. You don't want to miss that Sunday. And then in the evening, he's going to be doing a kind of a parent workshop for parents and people who want to just learn how they can do more when it comes to parenting their teens, their children in ways that honor God. And let's face it, we all need help, right, in those areas. And there's so many things I wish we could have done maybe differently when we were doing it. with our four boys. And so we want to invest in you. So mark it down, March the 18th. It's going to be a great Sunday. And so today, our focus, we're going to be talking for a little while about the value that we call meaningful community, meaningful connection and community. And the reality is that the Bible says that we were made for community. We were made to be in relationship with one another. And so we add that word meaningful. You could be on a subway going through New York City, and you could be jam-packed, connected. Maybe some of you have had that experience before, and you are like literally almost like the breath is being squeezed out of you. You're connected, but maybe not exactly in the most meaningful way that you would like. And the reality is, as a church, sometimes we are connected, but our hope and prayer and goal is that we can be connected in more meaningful ways. And so we're gonna focus on that today. And so to help us, we've invited four different people to come and be part of this little panel that we're going to do. And so I'm going to invite Alvin, Antonio to come down, and Jackie Sargentson, and Bill Crowder, and Carolee Norris. So if these folks could join me on the platform, can we just give them a big welcome this morning? And we honor you guys. These are people who are living and breathing and practicing the things that we're going to be talking about today. And it's interesting. Alvin and I, we were connecting here a couple of days ago, and he told me he was so excited to be part of this morning. And so, Alvin, I love your enthusiasm. And Alvin actually comes from Zimbabwe and showed up here in the valley just over a year ago now, almost 2 years now, I guess it would be, as a student at North Island College. And people were bringing Alvin to church, giving him rides to church, and we started connecting, and it's been great. And now he's part of a life group. That life group actually started out of one of our newcomers groups, and some of the people that were part of that newcomers group just decided, hey, let's start our own group and let that carry on. And Alvin joined in on that. Carolee Norris as well, same idea, started in a newcomers group, and then that evolved into a life group and with some ladies. And Jackie Sargentson, this is her second go around. She's giving us another chance. Was part of our church many years ago, actually when we first came here 20 years ago, and then spent the last 10 years in Cold Lake. And by the way, it's her husband's, today's a big day for John Sargent. Where's John? It's his official day of retirement today from the military, the Canadian Forces. And he was hoping to take all of us out for lunch today, but then he remembered he's now unemployed. So, but John, we honor you, and so glad to have you guys back in the valley with us. And then Bill Crowder. Bill was in the valley, moved away for a while, actually lived over in Chiang Mai, Thailand for a while, took over some of the stuff that Calvin and Claire were doing, and now they're back in the valley, and they've connected with CPC. And all of these guys are part of a small group, a life group, and we just wanted to kind of get some of their perspectives on different things, and just to help kind of champion this value of meaningful connection and community. Maybe Noah, if we could go to the next slide. We've been saying that all of our values, we've attached a behavior to it, okay? And in this case, it says, we are committed, you guys can look at this if you want, we are committed to strengthening relationships, seeking to foster environments, both large and small, that support growth, giftedness, and care. One of the things we want to say is that we don't want to minimize the idea of large groups. This is a large group setting that we're in right now. And the reality is, when we come together in this kind of a context, our hope and prayer is that our Sunday main gatherings can be very, very meaningful to people. Right now, we have a group of children downstairs in their classrooms, and those are meaningful opportunities for our kids to be able to connect together and to really grow in ways that are kind of at their level and at their level of understanding. It's great when we can worship together. I mean, when you get a group of people just singing out with all they got, how many would agree that can be a very meaningful experience? And so we get to do that. Coming together around common themes like this when we share the Word of God can be very meaningful in our large group formats. But we also believe that we need to connect at more intimate ways. And so, first of all, I want to say, I know we've got a number of our small group leaders here this morning, and we honor you. We celebrate you guys. And let's give them a hand this morning. And we actually have some people that help with some leadership here this morning as well that are on the platform. I mentioned earlier that we see it as a foundational truth that we were made for community. When God created Adam and Eve, just even looking back biblically, what was one of the first things that God said about man? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman, and then there was also a family. And right from the very beginning, we see how God placed value on families. When God began to set his people apart, the children of Israel, it started by God organizing the people of Israel into tribes and into family groups coming together and then into tribes and recognizing that these people shared, they became a distinct community and just the whole idea of them being the people of God in sharing life together in meaningful ways. Jesus was, even Jesus was placed into a family when he came, when God became flesh. The early church, we know that right from the very beginning, the early church, even though it exploded onto the scene with thousands of people coming to Christ, what did they also do, though? They also, the Bible says, they went from house to house. Let's, Noah, if we could bring up that scripture reading, this might be a good place to bring it in. It says, talking about the early church community, it says, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That would have been kind of like large gatherings. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then the fruit of it all, the result of all of this, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was something contagious, would you agree, about the early church community. Something very contagious about it that people were drawn to. And so let's jump in. We've got a few questions here we're gonna try to get through this morning. We may not get through all of them, but let me just throw one out here right off the bat here. And by the way, we've got some microphones we've got to hand out here. So behind you, ladies, there's grab that one there and then those two there, guys. Mr. Soundman can organize all you guys. So how about we start with, how about Carolee over there? And then we can expand on, we can get other people to jump in here. So the first question is, when you guys think of the word meaningful in the context of relationships, what does that mean to you, meaningful? When you think of the word meaningful relationship, what does it mean? What does that word meaningful mean to you?
To me, I guess it means personal. That it has to have, I have to be known as a person in it and not just a face in the crowd. And so sometimes I will say this for me personally, I love the Sunday morning services, and you greet a lot of people, but at the same time, most of those are very quick greetings. I don't really know what's happening in your life or how things are going. And the small group provides a place for that to be really meaningful because we spend so much time together. We share our hearts and concerns. We share the word. And it becomes meaningful on a different level than the big group does because I get personally invested in people's lives in a way that I don't have the opportunity with so many here. It's not that you don't care about everybody here. Right. You just don't have the time. It's a time commitment,
yeah,
partly, that you have the time to get to know someone. And it becomes very personal.
All right. That's good. Someone else. Just jump in there. Whoever. Doesn't matter who. Jackie?
An intentional time to love others as well as to feel loved and
Can you
encouraged.
Hear okay? Yep. Okay. Just making sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Jackie.
Oh, again? Because it's so important.
Yeah.
An intentional time to feel loved as well as to love on others.
So it's a time where you can just be very intentional. Yeah, good. Alvin, what are your thoughts on the word? What does it mean to be meaningful?
I think to be meaningful means to be real. I think that, like what she said, it's more personal and it comes from actual care. Like I would say in a relationship setup, it shows real care. And it's reciprocal, like it's not just me getting it or someone else giving it. So it's something where you actually get down to being real with a person, knowing the ups, the downs, the pros and the cons, like also being vulnerable in a state because you're opening up to the other person as well, not just expecting the other person just to be the one who's opening up to you.
Yeah. Alvin, let me just jump into a little question here. And this isn't rehearsed, okay? So, Albert, when you first arrived in the Comox Valley, and I don't even know exactly how you discovered Comox Pentecostal Church, but when you first, what was it like for you as a brand newcomer? How did you feel coming into a new country, a new town, a different culture, a new church? What was that experience like for you?
It was, I would say, exciting, and at the same time, I felt anxious and a little bit worried before I found Comox Pentecostal Church, because I was looking for a certain church that would go along with what I value as a person and as a Christian. So I was looking for a specific thing. So I just looked for churches online, like on Google, and just Google churches around, and Comox Pentecostal just happened to be close by. It wasn't the closest church to where I was staying at the time, but it was close by. And when I just read like the things that you had like on your website, I just saw that this might be a great fit for me. So when I came here, I would say the worship that that starts before the service, it was like real love. Like when I just experienced that, I felt the love that the people who were worshiping were putting in. People were actually praying to God on their own. They were loving God. And that's something that I value as a person, the love. And I was like, okay, this is real for me. And then after that, Kelvin and Claire, they came over and then they started talking to me and they invited me to their home. They asked me if I was walking to church. It was really rainy that time when I came here. So they were like, are you walking to church? And yes, I was walking to church. I don't know how long the distance was from where I was staying to here, but I would walk to church and then they offered to give me rides and all that stuff. And then I talked to you, Pastor Dave, and you invited us to your home, and it was like a newcomer's lunch, I guess, or party that we had at your house, and I just felt welcomed and loved, and it was an open space for me to share what I believed. And I know that Pastor Dave also asked me about what we did in the church where I came from, And he would always say, like, it must be so different from where you're coming from. So it was, I would say, welcoming and relieving at the same time that you guys are not expecting something so different, and I am not expecting something so different as well. And there was the expectation of being in America for me. Like, this is just, like, North America is just America for me, in a general sense. So there's a lot of things that we see on TV about America and Americans and what happens and how, you know, they see church and how most of them, you know, don't value the same things that are there in the Bible. Like, people can say, I'm a Christian, like in the movies, but then they don't really follow the Christian values. So I guess the first service that I came here, you were talking against that, and that really touched my heart, and I was like, wow, this is home for me.
So Alvin, which small group, life group are you part of?
The Kelly and Josiah's life group.
Are they here?
Yeah, they're up there.
Okay, your fan club up there. So what is that experience? How has that been a meaningful experience for you in your small group? How being now part of a regular group outside of Sunday, outside of a one-off newcomers gathering, actually being plugged into a life group, what is that experience like? How does that add meaning to your life?
Well, as a Christian, like, when I came here the first couple of months, I would say I was really involved with the church back home, and over here, I just decided to, like, learn and just be a little bit more relaxed and just get to see how things, you know, go first before I get a lot more involved. And I kind of got comfortable being in the background that way, until Kelly and Josiah started having that life group, and then they invited me over. And in the life group, the way that they have it set up is more like everyone has to participate. Mm. Like, you have to participate. And they don't put you, like, on the spot, like the hot seat. No, it's more casual. It's more friendly. It's just like people talking, like a conversation, the way that they have it set up. So you come there, we enjoy, like, 30 minutes of just catching up on everyone's week, catching up on things that happened during the week, and then from that discussion, it just goes into the life group, into the questions and all that stuff, and people share what they have. And I would say, like, the most amazing thing that I've found from that life group that they do is that thing that's written in the Bible about how when one of the organs of the body or the parts of the body is raised up, the whole body is raised up. So they have what they call praise testimony, something like that. They have those, and it's just before you give a prayer request, like, you just give a praise report, right? You just report on why you're thankful to God. And
that's awesome.
I found that it really helps me, and I get to enjoy other people's testimonies and what we would have prayed for maybe 2 weeks or a month ago. Yeah. When it comes to pass, it really helps me. Like, there are some things that I pray for myself, and then I feel like, oh, God is not answering. But then when I hear someone else saying, well, we prayed for this in life group and it happened, I really feel like God is answering prayers. God is in this place.
Awesome.
And it really gives me that belief.
So just, celebrating what God's done, it helps to build you up and keeps you going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Alvin. And we'll come back to, let's hear a little bit from Bill Crowder. Bill,
what would you like to hear, Dave?
Yeah. how has your experience been when it comes to, maybe not just even here locally, but what value have small groups meant to you, life groups? How has it been a meaningful experience in your life?
In a previous life, I was in the military as well.
And, previous life.
Small groups really offer the opportunity of community on a level that you don't have, especially in an organization where they try to move you around fairly regularly. It's hard to connect. But if you're in a small group, you can connect. When you go to a new church, you can connect in a matter of weeks with a group of people, and it really helps helps you with your life, helps you keep on track. I mean, the same is true of church. I think when we first moved to Comox years ago, we were here. There was a huge flood and a big snowfall on New Year's Eve. About 12 years ago now. And in our new house, the first thing it did was flood. And we had been going to a church, not this church, but another church, and we had just started to meet some people there, and they all showed up and helped us pump the house out.
Wow.
And that, to me, just told me about the community of church. And since then, we have always been a part of a small group, because it's better to have a closer community as well as the community at large, if you can. And when we lived in Chiang Mai in Thailand, we were part of a small group that was... It was really interesting because some of them were from the United States, some of them were Southern Baptists, some of them were... We were at an international church, so you got every flavor you can imagine there. We had people from the Netherlands, ourselves, a whole bunch of diverse opinions and ideas of what's right, what's wrong. And so it made for some great conversations during our small group. But the overriding thing about it was, and I think it was the last thing was mentioned in that slide, was care. The amount of care that we were able to show for each other was just outstanding. When people had struggles, one of them was a young couple with new children. We took on some babysitting roles there when it was needed. It's just amazing how you can help each other in the care department as a small group. Even now, the small group we're in... one of the couples we're going through is looking at doing something very dramatic, and we're supporting them 100% in prayer and in uplifting them and in finding out what they're doing and helping them if we can. It's just I won't mention what's going on in their lives, but it's great to be a part of an organization or a group where there's a willingness to help each other in ways sometimes that even family doesn't nowadays. And you know, we don't all have family that's part of the church that are believers, and so in some ways we're adrift from each other in that way. But when you're with a group of believers, that you have a common bond that's there, and it can really overcome a lot of differences and help you work together as a team. And that strengthens the church at large when we're doing that. You know, I'm just looking out here and I'm seeing people from our small group, and I'm just like, okay, they're there. I mean, we don't hang out together all the time, but it's great to see familiar faces, and yeah.
There was I received a number of great emails from some of our small group leaders who shared some of their experiences, and one person wrote let me just read this. One of our leaders wrote this. Meaningful community happens in a phone call, a thoughtful card, or a small gift, an invitation to sit with and join a group member for a worship service, a deeper level conversation, an invitation to an event outside of our regular group meeting time, or an email that gives contact to a call when you just need someone to talk to. The reality is what this does is it gives opportunities for not just what happens on Sunday or what just happens in your group evening, but in the context of all of throughout, like 7 days a week. Doing life together. What, Carolee, Jackie, does that resonate with you guys? Like, or does it only just happen on Sunday and maybe Tuesday night? Or does it happen at all times? Expand on that.
Do you want to take that first?
Sure. I'm a part of our youth ministry as well as a women's group. I think I definitely love the youth ministry. I get to go and be like a youth, which is fun. I don't know, I keep kind of thinking as everyone was talking that, you know, for John and I being a military family, we actually don't have any family out here.
Interesting.
But we chose to be here because we felt like this was home. So to be surrounded by people that, you know, each person in a little way can touch your life, or we can reach out and touch those people, that is, like, so special. And I feel like I have aunts and grandmas and cousins, and it's such a nice feel. But then when it comes to the small groups, it's those individual, I relate to this group in this way, that, you know, I can be wild and crazy with the youth, but yeah, that's where I can have fun there, and then I can sit down with the women in the women's group and talk about girl stuff, and and that fills that need that, you know, my husband maybe doesn't. Girl talk.
No offense, John. Yeah. We have some guys group that meet together. Guys connected with guys, so it's awesome. Couples with couples.
Yeah, he's got his own group.
Yeah. Carolee?
I think it definitely goes beyond the sort of Sunday and Wednesday afternoon when we meet.
You meet Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon now. Okay. 3:30, my house. Anybody's welcome to come join us. We ended up being a ladies group. We didn't try to start to be that way. We were definitely open, so couples can come. In fact, we encourage that, and it just hasn't happened. And that's okay, too. But there's a taking of interest in each other's lives, and both in the celebrations. And I think that was said, yeah, like, you know, you can celebrate the wonderful things happening in each other's lives and then the difficulties. And there's such a true blessing through the difficult times to be able to go to a group and kind of put it out there, and this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what I'm facing. Will you just pray with me? Will you stand with me in this? Will you, you know, come alongside and support? And that, to me, has been one of the biggest blessings, because you become more intimate with these people. There's a true knowing of the goings-on in your lives. And it was mentioned about the time to just share. Ours often happens at the end. I guess while we wait for each other to get there, we do have the sort of chat about the time. But we certainly make time for that within the fellowship of it, that you hear. It's not just ours is kind of based on a study. And shout out to Anita, who's, although I'm the host, Anita has, for the most part, taken on. This year, we've just been going through spiritual gifts and looking at, or the fruits of the Spirit, sorry, and looking at how those can be nurtured in our lives. And she's kind of presented, you know, done some homework and comes prepared with, like, a study. But it's very free. It's a very chatty. We all join in. It's not like a lecture series. It's really a conversation, and how God can bring forth that fruit in our lives. And, like, I'm somebody who's been a Christian for a long time, and it's still been really encouraging to me, because there are times in the Christian life I've found where you kind of, it's really easy to, if you've read stuff many times in the Bible, where you kind of read it like, oh yeah, I know what that's saying. And you sometimes, or I do, I should speak for myself, I find it really easy to sort of gloss over a verse or scripture because I have an interpretation, or I heard a sermon on it one time and I kind of think I know what it says. And it's so wonderful to be in this group, and suddenly, because of the sharing, because of reading it in different translations or whatever, it comes out and suddenly you're going, oh, that's not, or that's a different slant on that. Oh, I see how I can press in and grow with that. Or I get convicted of how I haven't looked at this part of it.
It helps with growth.
Totally fostering the growth. And yeah. I wanted to speak to the gift. Can I say something about the gift in this part?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's the other thing we've really kind of talked about for each other. Like, what is it, a giftedness within the church, the Christian ministry, what is it that you have inside you? Because all of us were given gifts.
Right.
And how are we going to recognize it, walk in it, And not just say, oh, I have nothing to offer, and just sit back and not do anything. And so there's been a wonderful challenge for us to just really stop. And everybody's are different. We don't have to look like somebody else's, right? We get to be in Christ who he's creating us to be.
That's right.
And yet there's this encouragement to step into that. And so that's just been a really wonderful experience, I think, for all of us in our group.
One of my gifts is visualizing, and I'm loving seeing so many people here today because I visualize that wall getting knocked down so that we can expand the sanctuary and have, like, a bigger party.
Woohoo!
Large group, small group, yeah. Which is pretty cool. One of the things that we can draw this from the early church, that the early church in the book of Acts, it grew by leaps and bounds, thousands. Yeah. And it's been said that the early church had the capacity to grow both large and small at the same time. Mm-hmm. Large and small at the same time. And so even as a congregation grows larger, we have the capacity with structure and with multiplying and even large, sometimes a small group can get so large that out of it will become new leaders and new groups can form. And so it has the opportunity to become large and smaller at the same time. And that's what our small groups do. One of the things that we tried to champion even 20 years ago when we came to the Comox Valley as pastor, and I would say that this can be something for even going forward. We tried to downplay the term pastoral care. And not to say that that's not an important thing where the church is cared by the local pastor. We tried to introduce the whole concept of congregational care. Yes. And the idea that care becomes everybody's responsibility. Because the reality is one pastor or one leader or a few even can never really give the care that a congregation needs. And so the best kind of care is not going to come from a lead pastor. I want to champion this for the next leadership coming in. The best care is going to come from people like yourselves and people like our group leaders, and so it's congregational care. It's everyone caring for each other. It's every member a minister. That whole idea, and so we just want to continue to celebrate that. And I want to just kind of throw out this question: how would you say, and maybe it does relate a little bit to what I've just said? How would you say that life groups, small groups, help contribute to the overall health and vitality of a local church? So how does being involved in meaningful relationships in a small group, how does that contribute to a church being healthy? Any thoughts on that? Say, Alvin? How does it make us more healthy as a whole group?
So I've found that when I came here, like, I didn't know anyone here, like, no friends, no family, and all that stuff. So if there are, like, people like that in the church, like, sometimes you feel lost. You feel like you're on your own, and like what you said in the first part, that it's not good for men to be alone. So when I came here, I felt like I was alone, like I was an island, like no one else understood like what I was going through and what I had to do and all that stuff. But I found that being in a life group and being in meaningful relationships, especially with people who care, has helped my own spiritual life. And I found that that has inspired me. Like, I would say that the life group that I joined and the people that I talk to here at church are like my family, like the whole life group. Like, we have this bond where it's more like it's gone past just being friendship now. It's more like I consider them to be like actual family, like people who are close to me, and we talk any other time that we can, and we've, like, the previous question that you asked, like, is it just a Sunday and Thursdays thing? Because we meet on Thursdays. For us, it's not. Like, we've gone tubing down Pantledge River, and that's something that I'd never done before. We've gone to, like, see some falls, and we've gone to, like, they've gone swimming and all that stuff.
We even,
like,
got you out skating this year, didn't we?
Yeah. And we've gone skating, too. So I've gotten to experience a lot from that group, and not just to focus on my own problems. Because I find that if I'm not engaged in relationship or in something where I talk to people, where I get to just, like, a moment of the problems, I just end up, like, back in the problems, back in the cycle again, back in all that, and you're thinking that maybe you're an island. And that has helped me to actually come to church and worship with that love that I talked about, like, just being thankful to God for the family, being thankful for the life group, being thankful for the church. And going on further now, I would say this year, I found myself that I was so inspired by what people like Calvin and Claire have done for me that I've been offering the same service now to other people. Yeah. Like, when I see a newcomer, like, there was, I think maybe it was the first Sunday of this year that I got in church, and Pastor Bob and Pastor Dave and a lot of other people were like, Alvin, we've been looking for you, and there's this new person here at church, and you can get to talk to them. They're also at the college. And I was like, okay. And we got talking, and then I found myself offering them the same things that I got offered when I got here. Found myself offering them rides to church. I found myself offering them to join a life group, like, to help them with anything that they wanted, giving them the same advice that I got when I got here. So I found that in the long run, just being in that small group has helped me to open up and help other people as well.
So the more healthy you are and the more you're practicing this, not only in your group, but it helps to strengthen the whole church as well. And I was just thinking of that word. All of these things that we're hearing, like, the more everybody can go repeat, 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 repeat. Are you with me? The more we can go repeat, 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 and let that just be carried out in so many different ways, it's going to contribute to the overall strength and vitality of a church, right? Do you want to, anything to add to that, Mr. Crowder, Bill? How does meaningful relationships in a small setting contribute to the big picture, the overall strength of a local church?
I think you can have a rock star for a pastor in a church, in a huge church, huge numbers, but you think back to what the early church was.
I'm still trying to be that.
Yeah. Actually, you're regressing now. You're stepping down from the rock star mode into that. And very gracefully, too, I might add. But I think, you know, something's missing from that. If you have a really big church and everyone goes, oh, look at how big the church is, how many people are there. But that's not what Christ was pointing at when he was forming his church. It was all about relationship.
Exactly.
His experience with the disciples, his experience with sinners that he encountered, it was all about relationship.
Yes.
And you just don't get that in a giant environment unless you find a way of getting together in smaller groups. And that's what's going to underpin and strengthen the church through tough times. You can have a church with 5,000 people in it, and if the rock star pastor disappears, you have 5,000 wanderers.
Yeah.
But if you have a church with 5,000 people in it and a rock star pastor and small groups that are holding it together, when he goes, the church is still there. It's going to hold itself together. And that's the strength of the church,
that's
is
so
the
good.
Relationships.
Absolutely. That's so good. And one of my hearts and dreams is to be able to leave a healthy, well-connected community of followers of Jesus, connected in different ways, in meaningful ways, because that can be a tremendous gift to new leadership going forward. And so my thought, that's one of the reasons that we're actually doing these values, is because these are the things that we unite around. These are the things that bind us together. And they're important to us, and they become a part of our future. So the future is really, in a lot of ways, more about you guys being connected and growing in that connected, and finding ways to expand that, looking for ways to maybe birth new groups, and we're going to wrap things up here in just a moment, but ways to be able to multiply, ways to connect to those newcomers and those always being aware. When we go to our newcomers meetings or gatherings, I always tell our brand newcomers, if you've been in church here two or three times, you are no longer a newcomer. You're part of the welcome committee. Yes. And just, we really want that to be a value because we want people to be connected to it in meaningful ways. Somebody, I really appreciate what someone said here. I'm just going to see if I can find it. They said, if you are not, this came from one of our small group leaders. They said, I don't think any Christian should be without a small group. How many of you guys would agree with that statement? Yeah? Now, being involved in this kind of meaningful relationship, it takes effort, right? It's not something that just happens. It takes effort to, you know, give up an evening of your week or your home, preparing, getting organized, preparing a study, preparing. But why would you say it is worth it? And what would you say to that? What would you say to the person that maybe who is not, or maybe they're feeling a little bit anxious about even connecting to a small group? They're just not sure how to get in. Like, what would you say to that kind of a person? Jackie?
I think with both sides there, it's the people looking for a small group, but I think there's actually lots of people in here who have a great idea and something that you would love to be a part of. Something that's passionate in your own heart, and start talking about it. Tell someone, because there's got to be somebody else who would love the same idea and the same. And when you come together with people who have those similarities, it's like that. Oh, we could be friends. You know, you get excited because you're on the same page. You're excited about the same things, and just being in that environment with people who have similarities, it puts a little fire in your heart, right? And it's good.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, we all have times in our life, too, where you just have to kind of take a step, whether it's sometimes you're applying for a new job or a new course at school or, you know, maybe if you're stepping off the bridge to bungee jump, that's not me, but I assume it's like that experience. But sometimes you just kind of have to step out and do it.
Yeah.
And finding a group and just connecting, it's sort of like that Nike slogan, just do it. Because the reward is so good for doing it. And I have to agree, whoever wrote the statement, you shouldn't be without a small group. I think that's probably where the most growth can happen, apart from your own, you know, devotions. But somehow being able to sound things off with people and hear, like I said, for me, the ways other people see things and just the challenges. And it is very meaningful, and it creates that environment for growth. And so I would encourage anybody here who's not a part of a group, just, you know, ask around, talk to some of us who are part of one, find one or make one. Like, that's what we did too, out of the several of us out of that newcomers group that time a few years ago when we were just new, and we just went, yeah, we need to.
Let's just go for it.
Let's just do it and see what happens and where it goes, and it's been really good for us.
I want us to, we're going to close. I don't even know how many are here right now, but I wanted to say, if you are one of our, either a host or one of our small group leaders, I'd like you guys, just could you guys come on down to the front here just for a moment, because we want to thank you and just pray blessing over you. So if you're up in the balcony, whoever you are, and this is how we're going to close today, come on down here, you guys. Now, the reality is, thinking about our youth ministry, I mean, those guys are all organized around, even right now with Alpha, around tables, and some of our small groups have been serving, preparing meals for our Youth Alpha. It's been really amazing. So can we just, let's give these guys a standing ovation, okay? So let's all stand and this is such a critical part of the just one part of the life of our church. Just stay standing because we're going to pray. And this is how we're going to end, okay? I don't want you to get too comfortable. But we just want to say we honor you and we thank you because you guys are really the rock stars. You're the symphony of care, the symphony of care that is being released through our church. And we're so, so grateful and thankful to God for you. And we just want to empower you, release you, bless you, stir up the gifts in your group and allow them to flourish and allow care to just explode. And I want to say if you are here and you're just not quite sure how you can connect, that's where we can help. We can help connect you with someone, with a group. We've got some groups that aren't even represented here tonight or this morning. This morning, yeah. And so, but can we just stretch our hands toward these guys and let's just pray for God's blessing to be upon them as they facilitate, as they open their homes, as they, some of them meet here at the church, and even those that aren't here today, we pray for them. And so, Father, we thank you for this amazing group of people, this symphony of caregivers, of leaders, of people who are helping to draw out the best, calling out the greatness of our people. And we pray your blessing upon each one of them today, that you will give them days when maybe only one or two maybe show up, and yet that can be a very special, meaningful time. Father, I pray right now for the potential of new groups to form going forward. We pray for people to say, you know what, I think I could do this with God's help and with some help of others. And so we pray for birthing and for new beginnings. And we pray for people that maybe are looking for a way or an opportunity to get into a group, that we can help facilitate that process. And in the meantime, Lord, as a church, help us to be very mindful of connecting with the people around us in meaningful ways. Even the newcomer on a Sunday, the newcomer out in the parking lot, the whoever that person might be, we pray that together we can be difference makers in people's lives. And so we just give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.